As I told the children this morning, I would be talking to all of you about doubt and about faithfulness or faithlessness and about Thomas, who got the bad rap of being called Doubting Thomas, as if it were a terrible thing to doubt something. I'm going to try to set that a little bit straight for all of us. Try to forget for a moment everything you thought about Thomas. Notice that I didn't say Doubting Thomas, as the nickname is the first thing we need to forget. So forget where somewhere along the way you came to believe that Thomas' primary attribute was doubting. Doesn't that make you feel like he's not the person he should be, especially as he was one of Jesus' disciples? But that's not the case. And I will explain a lot of that as we go. Forget you still think of him as a slightly inferior disciple. Forget that you're pretty sure Jesus rebukes him for his lack of faith. Did you hear that in the reading that was just read? No, you did not. Forget all of that. Why? Because in each case, the opposite is true. First, Thomas is not anywhere in John's gospel. Not anywhere in John's gospel. The only gospel where he has his own scene, lines, or characterization described as the doubter. Rather, he is the twin, a name for most of us have long forgotten. Do you know Thomas means the twin? And that's why he's called Thomas the twin. But somewhere along the way, somebody decided he should be something different and called him the doubter. Yes, he asked to see the nail prints in Jesus' hands, and he asked to see the marks in the sides. But then the other disciples, before they realized it was Jesus, looked for the same thing. We forget that. They didn't just say, oh, Jesus, you came through that door even though it was locked. They waited to see for certain that he was Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't upset with that. How many of us question things that we know? How many of us question things that we believe? Is that wrong? I'm going to tell you I say no, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm skipping over some of my sermon because I didn't know if it would fit what I wanted to say, and now I'm finding out that it's not fitting what I want to say. But we're going to look at what Jesus thinks about questioning things that happen around us. Did you ever question when three people walk along the street, one gets hit by a car, and the other two are fine? Did you ever see where, why does this person do everything they're supposed to and yet they get to deal with this? God allows us and wants us to question. What do you think questioning does? Anybody? What do you think questioning does? Does it not make us think a little bit more about what's happening? Help us to understand better what's going on in our world? And help us to learn. I don't know about you, but I've learned more from my mistakes than I have from things that went very well all the time. You see, so when Thomas said, I have to see the nail prints. I have to see the prints in his side. And then I'll believe for sure. He was questioning so that we could learn. He was questioning so that he could help others at that time learn a little more about Jesus and about faith. We've been through a lot, all of us, but our faith helps us to go with whatever we need to go with, to live whatever we need to live with. The one thing we need to remember when we do that is that God is there with us. See, that's what Thomas had to know. Okay, this happened. The guy comes through this door. It's all locked up. Why was it locked up? Because they were afraid the Jews would come after them. Remember, they were Jesus' disciples. So Jesus had to have a way for people to start to believe even stronger about their faith in him. And so he set these things up so that would happen. And it's hard to do. When I was doing this, and I've been struggling. I've been really, really struggling, and I don't normally say that. But I was going upstairs and by myself and praying and working and trying to figure out what I should bring to you. Because Dale and I have had a rough few weeks. And I don't usually share that with anyone. But it has an effect on us. Even though my faith is strong, even though I know that God will make a way, and he has, I still have questions. And that's okay. When I look at today, and someone said to me today, how come you're preaching? Well, those of you who know, I had a knee replacement 8 weeks ago. But Pastor Cindy came into the worship committee meeting and said, I need someone to cover and preach on the 8th. I said, I will. I didn't even hesitate whether I could or not. Afterwards, I was thinking, I'm not sure about this. One is doubt, one is faith. I knew that whatever I decided to do, that God would be there with me. God would see me through. When you saw me sit down with the children, last 2 days, all I've been thinking about, I was going to sit on that thing on the side where the tire, because I didn't know if I could get up once I sat down. I thought maybe I would be preaching from down there. But you see, it's okay to question. But my faith is what got me through. My faith taught me that no matter how much I question what I have to do, that God will see me through. I'm not saying, oh, God, it'll do everything our way. It doesn't happen. You know that, right? But to trust God to help you get through something like that, anything, small, large, whatever. I mean, if I had to sit on that step and preach, that's what I would have done. Why? Because I know God would have brought me through it. But he even gave it even better. He let me get up. So that, I'm thankful for that. I know you like when I tell a joke. I have one joke to tell about this thing. Said it was flooding in California. As the flood waters were rising, a man was on the stoop of his house, and another man in a rowboat came by. Come on, go with me. He said, no, I'm waiting for God to help me. So he sat there in the rowboat, went off. The waters kept rising. He moved up to the top of his house, the second floor, and another guy came by with a rowboat. Come on, get in a rowboat. I'll take you. No, I'm waiting for God. Well, then the flood waters got even higher, and he went up on the roof. And a helicopter came by. And he said, come on, I'll take you out of this flood zone. He said, no, I'm waiting for God. Next thing you know, God said, look, I sent two boats and a helicopter. What more do you want me to do? You see, sometimes we look at things in a different way. Why in the world would we look for something else if a rowboat, two rowboats and a helicopter especially comes by and you want to sit in the water? You see, God makes a way, and that's called faith. Not doubting. This man, he didn't doubt like Thomas, but he had this thing about him that he was expecting a certain way for something to happen. He wasn't going to go anywhere until it happened the way he thought. Well, you know and I know God has his own way to do things, and we just have to go along with it, accept it, and have faith in it. Yes, I'm leaving a lot of my sermon out, so you'll be out earlier than you expected. Let me tell you the difference, the definition between doubt and lack of faith. Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty, indecision, and hesitation. I'm sure you all recognize those feelings, right? Lack of faith is just simply unbelieving. Even though you question, doesn't mean you don't think God is there with you. You just know that it's a different way. Too many times we think of doubt, but it's not. God likes us to wrestle with things that happen in our lives. As I said before, a lot of times we learn more by wrestling with something than if everything just goes smoothly and you walk away and say, hey, that was great. But if you've had to struggle, how many of you have ever had to struggle in your lives? And every one of you better raise your hands, because I'm sure we've all been there. Different ways, different things happen. But we have to remember to look at what we can learn from what has happened and move on from there. So, was Thomas doubting or otherwise? What was he doing? Was he doubting? Was he questioning his faith? Was he just trying to learn more? You see, those are the things we forget to look at. Even if he was doubting, should he get the bad rap he had received all these years from that? No, I don't agree with that for a minute. I think that the more we doubt, the more we can learn, the more we can grow, the more we can share with others. If you look at the definition I gave you, it said indecision, uncertainty, not disbelief. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the ways. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. See the difference? It's not seeing or not having faith when you doubt. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Every time we have a doubt and we learn from it and we grow from it, then we increase our faith. We increase the faith of those around us by teaching them that God is here and God is willing to help out. These few weeks have been really tough for Dale and I, and those of you who don't know Dale, my husband, raise your hand, Dale, so they know who you are. I don't usually put him on the spot, but I thought I'd do it today. But since the sermon, and I didn't know what the sermon was when I said I would preach it. I didn't even look at the scripture because we were going to be going away. But it fits so well with what's been happening. And when I look back, now I understand it. We went to Florida with our children. Yes, it was a beautiful time there with the kids and the grandkids. But somebody had to use one of those scooters, you know, the electric wheelchairs. And people would say, well, that's not so bad. You don't have to walk all over those parks. But you'd ask my husband, the first day I sat down in the wheelchair, tears rolled down my face. I wasn't embarrassed. I was just frustrated because I'm normally one to take care of myself. Well, God didn't leave that crying very long for me. We were going down the first thing. I was going to say, being pushed, I was trying to drive one of those things. But I passed two families with young girls who were probably maybe in their late teens. They were in wheelchairs. Now, they didn't have broken legs from what I could see. So I had to think that they're in wheelchairs all the time. And I said to myself, God, thank you, because I'm fussing about a week in a wheelchair, and these women will probably grow up in a wheelchair. You see, the faith was there, because otherwise I wouldn't have seen that. But it was hard. I doubted whether I could get through the week in a wheelchair. Well, I did. But having those young people go by me, and they're laughing, they're talking, and, you know, everything's fine. That was my faith. Because it taught me very quickly that we can deal with anything we have to. But it still was tough, and I thank God that I'm not in a wheelchair, and I pray for those who live in a wheelchair because they do. When Pastor Cindy said she needed someone to fill in today, I could have said, oh, I can't do that. How am I going to do that? She was shocked when I right away said, I'll do it. We were at the council meeting, or not council meeting, the worship committee meeting. She said, you will? Why not? Because faith gets us through the toughest times. Did I doubt that I could do this? If you saw me in the back, Lucia will tell you, where was I while they were doing the prelude? I was sitting in a chair. I was sitting in a seat. Couldn't stand that long. But look at me now. I'm still standing. You see, God makes a way when you have faith. Whatever's going on in your world, God will make a way. We had some other things happen on our trip. My husband has to have surgery tomorrow. He's here today. He hasn't had any symptoms of his problem. So that's faith. Just do what God expects. God will not always make it your way. But I know this about God. He'll make a way to see you through. Don't worry about it. If you can't change it, don't worry about it. And I always tell people at the hospital, let go and let God. When people are saying, oh, I can't do this, or I don't know how to do that, let go and let God, because God is in charge. And we have to understand that when we go through some trials in our life. I was going to tell you some other stories, but my computer's been acting up and it's not on my paper, so I'll spare you. Here's something I am going to share with you. Somebody gave to me a few months ago, when I was really down on things happening and I was very upset. So I was told to put this up where I could see it every day. Well, it's up on my books next to my computer are holding it up, so it's hanging down. It's called Choose Joy. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Happiness isn't just a random feeling. Happiness is a choice. It's a decision that we have to make each and every day. All through life, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to lose your joy. We all go through disappointments. We all have times when things don't go our way. I can't imagine. Anybody have that problem? It's easy to let circumstances make us sour and dejected until we end up just going through the motions of day to day. But if you're going to live in victory, if you're going to thrive the way God intends, you've got to make the decision that you're going to enjoy life. You can choose to be happy in spite of your circumstances every single day. Hear that? Every single day. Today, remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. As you choose joy, you are tapping into His strength, which will carry you to all the days of victory, to all the days of your life. We have to remember that. We have a choice. We have a choice in questioning or sitting back and just letting things go by us. We have a choice of whether to accept Christ to see us through or a choice to just sit back and feel sorry for yourself. As I saw those young girls in those wheelchairs, I don't know where I would be if I were them, but I saw them. I saw the joy in their faces and their talking and their laughing, and it was more, the wheelchair was a necessity, but I'm going to live anyway. And that's what I saw from that. So even when I wasn't even planning this, and like I said, I don't know if any of you have ever been in one of those wheelchairs in a theme park. It's like riding a motor scooter or a tricycle on a highway, on an interstate highway. That's all I can say. It's very difficult. But when we trust God, He makes a way. I didn't hit one person, I got to tell you. A few people almost hit me, ran into me, but I didn't hit anyone. But I don't take that for me. I know God was with me. So when we go out there in this big old world today and tomorrow and the next day, take God with you. Don't complain about people questioning things. Children question. I used to teach preschool. I've taught high school, special needs. I've taught all different levels of people. They question. And what do they do when they question? They learn. Even the little ones up here, my little friend, he was giving me some other information I didn't share with you. But it wasn't bad. It's just funny sometimes. Oh, no, don't shake your head. He's a good parents are old. He's wonderful. But you see, they want to know. He fit right into my sermon because he wants to know what I'm talking about. They all want to know what I'm talking about. So you help them. You teach them. And you don't put them down for asking questions. That's the most important thing. So I hope when you go out of here today, I know my sermon is fairly short, but I wanted to say what I wanted to say. I wanted people to understand. Doubting is not a problem. Faithlessness is a big problem. Distinguish the difference so that you can live your life and know that Christ is with you each and every day. Amen.